Welcome to the Bull Gap Journal here in the Radio Alabama studio in Sylacauga, Alabama. I'm Robert Holmes, your host for the Bull Gap Journal. We talk about life, leadership, and common sense. Joining me this morning is a well-known figure and face in Sylacauga, Ryan Coleman. Ryan, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm just excited that you're here. Many of you know Ryan. He's the owner and practitioner for Difference Architecture here in Sylacauga. President of the Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors, Historic Commission Board Member, Commercial Development Board, Vice Chair of the Sylacauga City Schools Foundation, and still assistant tennis coach at Sylacauga High.
Still an assistant, yes, sir.
Good deal, good deal. Now, you were born in Sylacauga.
I was born in Sylacauga for a very short amount of time. I spent, actually, my family was in process of moving from Alexander City to West Point, Alabama. And Sylacauga Hospital was in between those two points. And so I was born here and then immediately moved
and
to
conveniently
West Point.
Located to assist you stepping into this world.
Absolutely.
Okay. Good deal. So now you and Jessica and your two children, Burke and Hyland?
Hyland.
You live here in Sylacauga now, but you had about a 30-year break there. So what happened?
We did.
Did you didn't get mad and leave?
I didn't get mad. I was too young to even know I was born here. So so we moved to West Point. My dad it was a football coach at the time, and my mom an educator. So he was coaching at Benjamin Russell and got a head coaching job at West Point High School. And so we moved to West Point when I was born. And so I was born and raised in Coleman County. We had a brief stint in that time where my dad actually moved to Dora High School in Walker County. And then we went back to West Point. So. Okay. I spent all my time in North Alabama, and Jessica the same. We went to high school together. Our first date was junior prom.
Wow.
And so we've had a long relationship. And so, I was born in Sylacauga. I'm happy to live here now, but I was certainly glad to be able to move to West Point. That way I can meet Jessica.
So you got to see other areas of the broad Southeast world.
Right. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, good. Well, now, okay, so that covers those early years, but then you went to Auburn University.
Yes. Yeah, right? Jessica and I both were tennis players. We went to Central Alabama Community College and played.
Okay,
two
I saw
years.
That.
Yeah. So we were on scholarship for 2 years there on the tennis team and wouldn't take those years back for anything. But then both went to Auburn, and I got my degree in architecture, hers in education, and Jessica was part of the Auburn majorettes. And actually, it's what led us partly back here is. You know, she coached the majorettes for the last 5 years at Auburn for the band.
Oh, really?
And, she did. And so that was one of the draws back. But, yeah, we graduated from Auburn, moved to Atlanta. I graduated in 2008. I think we can all remember 2008 and what that meant from an economy standpoint. Yeah. So I was really fortunate to get a job right out of college. And I moved to Atlanta, and we worked and lived in Atlanta for 7 years. And then moved back to Sylacauga after that, and have enjoyed every second.
Okay, now where'd you work in Atlanta?
I worked for a firm called HKS. HKS is one of the largest global firms, especially in the healthcare world, anywhere. And I gained a lot of experience there. Really learned from some great mentors. I had Mark Holtz and Jack Ford, just guys that really influenced me greatly about how I practice right there in that really large firm. I went on to work at a smaller firm in Atlanta. HKS was huge. Right. I knew what my goals were. My goals were for a small local practice. I couldn't gain that experience working with 2,000 other people.
Right.
So I moved to a firm called Hauser Walker in Atlanta, where I probably worked with the best design architect I ever had the opportunity to work with. And then when we moved back to Alabama after that, really got the privilege to work with one of the greatest men I've ever met, when Dick Pickford, for 5 years. And that was the transition from Atlanta to Alabama. And actually, you know, when we moved to Alabama, back to Alabama from Atlanta, the idea was not to stay in Sylacauga, because we moved back here for our kids to grow up closer to their grandparents. And we had a family home here that we weren't able to sell. So it was an easy opportunity for us to live here, Jessica to stay home with the kids, because that's what she wanted to do until they were school ready. and then I would commute to Birmingham. But in the couple of years that we moved back here, we realized that this is going to be home. We right. developed some relationships with some people here that we cherished and valued, and it's those relationships that made us decide to not look towards towards Birmingham, but right. just to make our roots here.
Community is important.
Community is very important.
Got it. So what I see and what you've described is, you know, sometimes the American way is you start here and you go and just climb that ladder to get to the top of big, whatever big is. And in the architecture world, you were at big, you know, with a global yes. firm. But what I see in terms of your goals, and we'll talk about these later in terms of community and your role as a leader, your focus was not big necessarily, but it was more towards community. And so I would see that you've come back to a rural place to practice architecture.
Yeah, so. I would say I did not value the idea. I mean, one of the projects I got to work on was the Dallas Cowboys Stadium.
Sure,
big yeah. projects like that.
Pretty big project.
That was never a goal for me to work right. on big projects like right. that. I went to Auburn. Auburn is famous for a program called Rural Studio.
I was going to mention that. I read that. Yes. Yeah. What is that?
Well, the Rural Studio is a it's a program that Auburn has in place in Hale County. Hale County is in the Black Belt, and it has no building department. It's poor. It's one of the poorest counties right. in our state, and students get to go out into that community and work with clients who more than likely would never need an architect.
Right.
And understand them, get to know them,
right.
and design something very specific for their soul and for their needs.
Sure.
And the beauty of that is, you know, architects in a traditional sense work in a studio environment in school where they're just sketching and drawing. At the Rural Studio, when you draw that line, you're going to have to dig that line, or you're going to have to build that line. So it makes you start to appreciate and, sure. and value what you're doing behind the desk or in your sketchbook translates into something real. And it really affects you. How you end up drawing after you get out of that program is different from the way when you started.
So what I'm hearing is that in for your goals and for where your passion was, this was where you could really see and reach people to provide them something at a point of need.
Correct.
That you could relate to.
Yeah,
and sort of get your hands dirty with.
Absolutely. And the emphasis at the Rural Studio is becoming a citizen architect. I kind of fell in love with that term, citizen
nice.
Architect. Yep. It's meaning, how can we serve our community in the best way that we can? I mean, architects don't have all the right answers, but we do have a perspective that's pretty different than right. most everybody else's. And so can we infuse ourselves into our local communities and provide that? You know, a lot of architects are not going to small rural communities and opening practices, right? They're going to the
right.
urban centers.
Well, that's what I was talking about a minute ago. They're climbing that ladder. But yours was a different ladder.
It
because
is.
Of, yeah.
It is, but I also grew up in this kind of environment. And I actually, you know, I think it's pretty self-explanatory that rural communities or people that live in rural communities would rather not go to Birmingham and Montgomery to find their architects. If they can go two
sure.
blocks away, they will. So I don't think that a community like this could support 15 to 20 architects. But if you have one in the community that gets local projects, you can have a sustainable practice.
Right.
We've proven that, I think, in the past 5 years that we've been open, and it's been beneficial, I think, hopefully for the community, but also for us.
So on that point, you know, I've looked at some of the local projects you're working on, the Earth Project, which we've talked about with, you know, Margaret Morton from SAFE, and you're very much a part of that, along with, you know, Ben Robbins, and the East Alabama Training Hub.
East right. Alabama Rural Innovation.
Rural Innovation
and a training hub.
Yeah.
Well.
So, I mean, this is amazing. You know, we've talked to other folks about it, and I know you're a large part of that in terms of design, you know, designing and looking at what's got to go there, not only in terms of the architectural design, but also what I'm going to say is inside the doors.
Yeah, it's what a blessing. I mean, first off, getting to work with such incredible leaders on that project has been a blessing for me, because I Miss Morton and Dr. Lacey, all the people that are really super involved in that project, I see they're mentors to me. And I didn't know them when I moved to Sylacauga.
Right.
And getting a chance to get to know them and be around them, and this project is really, it's going to change our region.
Right.
I truly believe that.
So for some of the folks who may not have caught earlier discussions about the training hub, Earth, it's going to be a game changer, particularly in economic and community development for rural neighborhoods. And Ryan, and I've told Margaret Morton this, what you all are doing is really going to be a national benchmark for this kind of capability. So this is great.
I believe that too. I mean, we've been marching down this path for 4 years almost now, and Ben Robbins and Margaret have sort of knocked it out of the park, and from a fundraising standpoint.
And Governor Ivey.
Governor Ivey, and we're ready. We're actually starting that project right now.
I'll tell you, you know that my heart's behind what you're doing because I think it's so important, and I think it's important for this community. And I can remember 5 years ago when it was just basically an idea that somebody mentioned to me, and I know there were a lot of folks that said, well, that's never going to happen. You know, that's going to be, you know, as I did just back pocket math strategically, you're talking about just, you know, 30 to 40 million to get it built and open the doors, and you've not even started doing yet.
Right.
But it's happening.
Oh, it's happening. It looked like almost an insurmountable task, but.
Well, those are the best kind, man.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Especially when you achieve them.
No doubt. And right now, we're, you know, like I said, we're starting now. We've already started out on the site measuring the existing building and hopefully see a lot of movement on that project in the next 9 to 10 years.
And for those who want to look, it's down at the old Avondale Mill site down in the Mill Village here in Sylacauga, and it looks to be a rubble pile, and it is right now, but it's getting better, and it's going to be great.
You know, I've given a lot of guided tours here lately, and we talk, Margaret and the team and myself, we talk about this site as being just unbelievably awesome in terms of its cleanup, and I drive them past the site, and they're like, this is the site that they think's just magnificent and beautiful? They have no concept of the context it was in. So I've sort of had to retrain myself on my guided tours not to call that rubble pile out now beautiful, but it is to us.
Okay. Hey, Ryan, this is great. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back in the second segment, we've talked about Ryan and his arrival or his return to Sylacauga, the fact that, you know, he's very much a part of this community. His architecture practice is here making a difference for people. When we come back, we're going to focus on your passion and bringing that to a rural area and why that's important. And also, we'll talk about your role as a community leader. Stay with us, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Radio Alabama studio and Bull Gap Journal. We're here with Ryan Coleman. Ryan is a community leader and owner and practitioner with Difference Architecture. In the first segment, we spoke about some of the current programs, particularly the Innovation and Training Hub, Earth, and other projects that you're working on. And we alluded to you're having been elsewhere in the world of architecture and design and part of the big projects like the Dallas Cowboys football stadium there in Arlington, Texas. But you're back here now. Okay, so why did you choose, and I want to pull the threads on this, why did you choose to practice in a rural area? And we touched on it briefly, but I want to dig into that a little bit.
I think a lot of it has to do with the type of environment that my family raised me in. Rural communities, you know, in Sylacauga in particular, have been a huge part of the growth that I've had since I was a young child. I mean, we used to come back to Sylacauga all the time to visit my grandparents, and I'm pretty sure I took tennis lessons from Randy Carter, and he probably wouldn't want me saying that because of the gray hairs I have on my chin. But so Sylacauga, this area, I would say, has always been truly important We have a farm in Clay County. When I go over Bull Gap Mountain, I sort of have always felt at home.
Yeah.
It's just my kind of place and kind of different, I would say, than a lot of my fellow classmates at Auburn. They sometimes mostly grew up in urban areas and went to private schools, and I had a different upbringing. Mm-hmm. I think that attraction, along with that education I got through the Rural Studio, where I even valued local communities and rural communities more, sort of led to the decision for me to open a small practice in a rural community.
Now, you mentioned being associated with, is it Dick Pickford in yes. Birmingham, as a mentor? What influence did he have?
Well, I don't know that you've got a long enough segment for that, but what I would say is when I moved back from Atlanta, I had two interviews. One of them was with Architecture Works, who I really didn't know them. Mm-hmm. The person I was working for in Atlanta recommended it. And it was my first interview, and I walk into Architecture Works, and what typically lays in an architecture office is books about yourself, books about your projects, you're selling yourself.
Right.
What Dick Pickford had on the table there was the Bible. And that, you know, that really changed everything from a perspective of what, because, you know, architecture world is different. You're working with all types of people. When I walked into Dick's office, I felt like I was walking into a family member's house. And Dick is a kind of a legend in Birmingham. He worked with Samuel Motby, which is the person who founded the Rural Studio. They were classmates. They were friends.
I see.
And the way Dick interacted and worked with others really influenced the way I practice today. And when we focus at Difference Architecture on making a positive difference, and that's not just in your community, but that's in your interactions with your clients, your interactions with your consultants, because, you know, we have to work with a lot of different types of people, structural engineers, mechanical mm-hmm. engineers, and how you interact with those people actually goes into the success of your project.
Sure. And well, it has to.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, Dick was incredible at all of that. He, you know, I left Architecture Works, let's see, that was about 5.5 years ago, right after the Purcell Farms work wrapped up, because that's all the projects that I worked on with Architecture mm-hmm. Works was out at Purcell Farms. And when that kind of wrapped up, I left. Dick was supportive of that because he wanted to see me grow and be involved in my community. He ended up passing away about 5 months after right. I left, but his impact on my practice and everybody he was around, well, it lives forever.
So in terms of his legacy, he left some of that with you.
No doubt.
Yeah, for sure.
And everyone he interacted with, yeah. Not just me. Yep.
So you are a community leader. What do you see as important to your role, and what do you value in that?
I would say at first thing is I don't really view myself as a leader. I believe that in order to be a leader, you have to do things that leaders do. And so things like listening, having an open ear, being willing to follow in times and be a good team player, putting others first and in front of yourself. And doing all of these things, and I think the most important thing is to do it with honesty and integrity, because, you know, I believe you can set a goal and you can reach that goal in many ways. There's not just one way to get to the goal, but if you don't do it with honesty and integrity, when you get to your goal, you may look around and not sure. see many people around you. So I think with all of those things that we do, we have to do the things that leaders do. We don't self-proclaim to be leaders, right? Other people do that. And I think the way that you go about it is you do the things that leaders do and look toward all the great examples we have in our community yourself. I mean, when you talk about serving others and putting others before self, I mean, I can't imagine a better example of that than someone who's served in our military. Right. So using those great examples, and we talked about Miss Morton and other people in our community too that look at what they do,
right?
And do the things that they do, because I think in order, if you want to be a leader, you have to do those things that leaders do.
Yeah, one of the things that I've always sort of looked at in terms of defining leadership is that people follow a leader and people follow you. You know, they do. I appreciate your humility in saying, well, I don't consider myself a leader, but quite honestly, that kind of honesty is what makes, I think, great leaders. So I totally appreciate what you're saying.
I've had some incredible examples in my life. My dad and my mom, my parents, as being those main ones. But like I've said, I've also had the privilege of working for some incredible people that represented themselves that way. And it's been sort of easy to look at their example and do those things the right way.
Sure. So as a community citizen, as a community leader, and as an architect, you know, and I always view good architects as having great vision. What do you set as a vision for what you see here in Sylacauga, and the greater Sylacauga area, the community, the Coosa Valley? What vision do you see?
Well, it's to me, it's pretty hard not to look at this area and in this community and not see the growth potential.
Right.
You know, that was one thing I evaluated when I decided to open a small practice. That's great, Bob. I mean, we can open small practices, mm-hmm. but we need to strategically be able to look at the area and make sure it can also be sustainable.
Well, that's true.
And this community is situated geographically in a really good place. And like I said, the people, which was the draw for Jessica and I think you also have the leadership in place of people in the community mm-hmm. to be able to do really good things. So I think all the infrastructure having a vision and implementing a vision is here. There's, you know, at times, I just like in all small communities, what I'd love to see the most is us, the ability to all kind of get on the same page and move in one direction.
Right.
I think that's also a good sign of leadership. You know, we talked about Earth, but, you know, Earth is a group of team that are all moving in the same direction. That's why it's been successful. There's not a lot of going this way or going this way. The vision and the Jack Ford, the guy that I used to work with at HKS, he would call them cardinal rules. Every project has cardinal rules, and I'll give you an example. If you're designing a hospital, at the beginning of that design process, you will say things like, we want every patient room to have north light and access to a beautiful view of whatever mountain, any terrain feature. You know, you'll get down and through that project, and you may have somebody on the hospital team that says, well, we can put a patient room over here and we'll make more money. But if it goes against your values and your cardinal rules that you set out from the beginning, you don't do it. It makes decision making easy. So I think having a set of rules and values, and I think this community has a lot of that in place. We just have to hold on to them, not let them escape, and move forward.
So you just talked about people pulling together, you know, as a team, and that is always, in my view, is the role of a leader is to do whatever it takes to get the team working together. So I can appreciate that, and I certainly appreciate your view of vision with value. Particularly, you know, I was born and raised here, so even though we live down at the top end of Lake Martin right now, my heart's still here in Sylacauga, and always will be, and I can certainly remember many of the things that you've highlighted, particularly the climb up to Bull Gap, going across Herds Mountain. I've done that many times on a bike. Just to get my workouts in, and it's beautiful country. So
if you biked up that mountain, you were in incredible shape.
Well, not today, but there were years, where I was in good enough shape to make that climb several times. What was scarier was the ride down.
I have no doubt.
Had a deer jumped out, I would have been I would have been toast. But anyway, so I really appreciate your view, your vision, your participation as a leader in this community. And the reason I want to key on that is because I think it's important for all of us to pitch together here for this greater good of the greater Sylacauga area. And I think there's great potential here. And I just appreciate that the fact that you're in the middle of the scrum making that happen, you know. So in closing, first, I just want to thank you. Is there anything you would like to leave with the folks here about our incredible future? I know we've talked about it, but just in any last word that you might want to say.
Well, I think it's just really time to buckle up. I think we've got serious momentum from a community standpoint, and lots of great city projects going on. And it's like you said, it's time to sort of get on the same page and as team members pull together, because there's not one group that's going to make this go forward. It's just like we talked about the Earth Project a lot, but that's a team effort. There's not one person pulling that. We're doing it as a group, making decisions as a group, and I think the same thing can be done with our community to move forward.
Good deal. I can certainly applaud that effort, and thank you for being part of the magic to make those kinds of things happen.
It's been an honor. We've enjoyed it. We love this community.
Well, Ryan, thanks, and thank you for watching and listening in today on the Bull Gap Journal. We talk about life, leadership, and common sense. Our guest today was Ryan Coleman, a community citizen at large here in the Sylacauga area and the owner and practitioner of Difference Architecture. Again, Ryan, thanks, and thank you all. If you like the Bull Gap Journal, go to radioalabama.net/bullgap and learn more.